Blog Talk Radio.
It took about 20 years before science owned what I was talking about. If you understand epigenetics, you don't need the pharmaceutical industry. That's not in the interest of the, you know, one of the biggest industries on this planet to say you can heal yourself without drugs. And I go, absolutely. Look, I can feed you with an idea that this pill that we just got from the pharmaceutical company, it's the greatest, best thing for your issue. And I give you this pill and you get better. And then later you find out it was a sugar pill and everybody goes, yeah, that's called the placebo effect. And I go, what does it really mean? I said, you didn't get healed by the pill, you got healed by the belief in the pill. At least one third, minimum of one third of all medical intervention is it's the placebo effect where the healing comes from. Everybody goes, yeah, I know about the placebo. I go, yeah, but that's a result of positive thinking. What about negative thinking? And this is what we don't talk about, but the reality is it's equally powerful in regard to affecting your biology as is positive thinking, but it works in the opposite direction. A negative thought is called the nocebo effect. Can cause any disease, and you can die. If you believe you're going to die, you can die from the belief. So we really have to watch out because, as psychologists would tell us, 70% or more of our thoughts are negative and redundant, replaying the same negative thoughts. I go, if thoughts had nothing to do with it, fine. But thoughts, positive or negative, shape our biology. And all of a sudden it says, well, now it's time to wake up because our negative thinking is manifesting a negative life experience. It took about 20 years before science owned what I was talking about and gave it the name epigenetics. That's the new science.
Okay, which is the belief that through your behavior you can kind of alter your genetics, pass those on, express it differently. I'm probably using the wrong words.
Well, pretty close right now.
People talk about it as a reality, although it's still not totally understood or totally believed.
It can be replicated. It is now. It is a science. It's a hard science, and it's the leading edge. Now, I'll tell you where the problem comes from. Not so much the scientists, but the pharmaceutical industry. And the reason why this becomes important is because the pharmaceutical industry runs the show in medicine. And if you could put this kind of healing that I'm talking about into a capsule or tablet, they'd be talking about it right now. But this is a consciousness healing, and you can't sell it. And so what's the result? They're not interested in it. And they, through their money, which is massive, actually determine the curriculum in a medical school. And one of the things they're trying to get rid of are people who respond to the placebo effect, because the placebo effect throws the data right off the chart. A simple fact is this, and people might be upset, but the drugs like Prozac in laboratory tests are no better than a sugar pill. And that's just how many billions of dollars a day on this planet are spent buying Prozac.
Yes.
Or statin drugs. Statin drugs help less than 3% of the people that take them. And in fact, they cause side effects that are dangerous in about 23%. So you help 3% with a drug, 23% are getting toxic from the drug. And the idea is these are drugs that, how long do you take statins? How long do you plan to live?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, that's a, you know, they're drug
they're
dealers.
Cash cow.
Look, it's advertised every 10 minutes on television. There's a new drug or a drug. And it's put into their heads like, your life's not working right. This drug, look at the happy people. See, they've taken the drug and how happy they are. And people buy that story. And pharmaceutical drugs kill about 300,000 people a year. And everybody's, oh, that's just the cost of doing medicine. And yet they have a war on drugs, which kill less than 30,000 people a year. And all of a sudden you got a war because 30,000 people died. 300,000 people die. That's business as usual.
How do we break this cycle? How do you fight these huge companies?
Basically, stop buying the product. And you say, but how can I stop buying the product? And the answer is, well, empower yourself because you're the one that controls all this. Any drug that affects you, you got to understand this. If I take a drug and it affects me, the reason why it affects me is because I have a natural equivalent of that drug in my own biology. You don't take a drug and it affects you and you have a receptor for that drug, like you are having this protein receptor for a drug you may never take. That would be silly. So if you have a receptor for a drug, then by definition, that receptor was already there because there's a natural drug. So in smoking pot, everyone, oh, no, there's a drug called tetrahydrocannabinol. And guess what? You have receptors for it because you make your own. So the idea is this. Well, if you want to have the effect of the drug, do you have to take an outside drug? I say, no, you have to change your consciousness because you already manufacture every equivalent of a drug right now. And the idea is, if you're not manufacturing it, then that means your consciousness is not supporting you in your health. And it's really an adjustment of consciousness, not an adjustment of your biology. Dear friends, cultural creatives, and imaginal selves everywhere, Bruce back. And this month's newsletter, I really want to focus on something called an urban myth. And this particular urban myth is the belief that we only operate off of 10% of our brain. So we've all heard that, yes, we're only using 10% of our brain. Boy, if we could use all the rest of it, we'd be super smart. But hey, that's all we use. Firstly, where did that number come from, 10%? A long time ago, when putting the body together through an understanding of histology and the cells that make up organs, a study of the brain revealed one very important fact, and that is only 10% of the brain was made up of neurons. 90% of the cells in the brain were not neurons, but they were called supporting or connective tissue and given the name glial cells. Well, what's really interesting about that is in the neuron principle, the neuron doctrine, it was believed that the neurons were the functional cells of the brain, and the glial cells were more or less just support. Well, then by definition, right away, it says then you're only using 10% of your brain because that's all that the neurons comprise in the brain, 10%. For a long time, the glial cells, again, were thought to be just like connective tissue support physically and nutritionally the neurons. But over the last number of decades, what we started to find is this. There was a misunderstanding about glial cells, that glial cells are a lot more important in neural function than just physical support. Glial cells can inhibit or activate neurons. Glial cells connect to neurons. Glial cells can control the activity of neurons. So all of a sudden, these glial cells, which were looked at as just passive cells in the brain, turn out to be actually quite functional in integrating the nature of how the brain works. In a way of looking at it, in a simple analogy, consider that the neurons are nouns in a sentence, and that the glial cells are the verbs and the adjectives and the adverbs, the modifiers of all the nouns. So the glial cells create a fulfillment of a picture. So neurons are like a stick figure, and when you add the glial cells, you fill out the nature of the whole human. So glial cells become a very functional, integrated part of all neuronal activity. So the concept of the neuron doctrine that said only neurons are involved with functioning in the nervous system, it turns out the glial cells are as well. So now we're not dealing with 10% of the brain, we're dealing with 100% of the brain. Yes, you have access to 100% of your brain all of the time. But does that mean that we actually use the whole brain all of the time? And the answer is no. Because what we start to find out is when we start to live in patterns and in habits, that what happens is we just activate certain neuronal pathways that are habitual pathways. And as a result, these are the pathways that have preference in our everyday life. But if you can engage whole brain activity, you can enhance your consciousness and your awareness and your ability to control your life. So basically it says that we can become whole brain when we start to think holistically instead of just playing recurrent programs that play over and over again and activate the same pathways. So the relevance is that once we start to engage in whole brain activity, we enhance our ability as humans on this planet. And now we're beginning to find out there are many different ways to engage and activate the whole brain. Some of them involve simple exercises such as something called Brain Gym. And Brain Gym is a very interesting exercise of the body and the nervous system integration in this way. My right hand is controlled by my left hemisphere. My left hand is controlled by my right hemisphere. But here's an interesting story. If my right hand, controlled by my left hemisphere, crosses the midline, then it simultaneously gets picked up by the other hemisphere because now it's in that territory as well. So when you cross your arms and when you cross your legs, what you're doing is causing the right and the left hemispheres to work together in harmony. When we are activating brain synchronization, where right and left hemispheres are engaged together simultaneously, it activates something like super learning. With both hemispheres working together, we have much more superior characteristics of neural function. However, after age 7 and 8, we start to express what is called brain dominance, meaning during the day, we don't have synchronization of both hemispheres. During the day, it's like a wave form. Sometimes we're more in the left hemisphere, sometimes we're more in the right, then it comes back to the left and back to the right, so that we're cycling through one hemisphere at a time. This is called brain dominance, where one hemisphere is dominant over the other hemisphere. Well, the relevance about that is integrating our lives is very difficult in brain dominance for a simple reason. As been suggested, our left hemisphere is based on logic and details. Our right hemisphere is actually associated with emotions and wholeness. And this becomes very important because if you're only looking with your left hemisphere, then all the logic things make sense, but there's no emotional component to it. And reverse, if you're in the right hemisphere, you get emotionally tied up, but the logic drops out. Well, this happens to us ever since the time we were 8 through our adult life. If you can get both hemispheres to be in sync, hemisync, then you're engaging logic and emotions at the same time. That opens up a window for super learning opportunities where you can download information very, very quickly and very fast, but it also opens up a whole wide range of thinking that includes an emotional component as well as an intellectual component, which is necessary to fulfill a whole picture. So if you're operating from brain dominance, you're actually shutting off one component of your nervous system at that time. So if you do an exercise like brain gym where you're involved with crossing your arms and your legs, when you do that, you start to integrate both. Very interestingly, when we have hemisync, we're much more calm, collected, and able to really express neurological functions that are very fully supporting of ourselves. And this is why it's very interesting when you go home and relax at night, sometimes you find yourself with your ankles crossed over each other just sitting in your chair. Without even knowing what you're doing, by crossing your ankles, you're actually engaging a whole brain process. So if you're stressed, for example, during the day, or you just want to relax when you go home at night, crossing your arms and legs actually engages both hemispheres, which calms the system down, but engages a whole brain process. So you become much more effective in your relaxed state. So if you're having a tough moment during the day, just take a moment and cross your arms and legs, hold them together, and just wait for about 3 or 4 minutes, and you'll start to feel a calmness overcome. And in this calmness, your neurological functions will be totally enhanced. When we start to operate from patterns that are replayed every day, we start to express very specific pathways that are reused over and over and over again. And as a result, we actually shut down a large amount of functioning of the brain and just go through the habit, the patterns that replay themselves over and over again. So basically, what you really have to understand is this: we can use 100% of the brain, but if we play the same patterns over and over again, we don't need to use 100% of the brain. So, simple point, I'd just like to suggest that once you start to recognize that you can have hemisync, where you can get right and left hemispheres to engage together and stay conscious, you are using 100% of your brain activity. And when you do that, you'll also find that your life is easier, more harmonious, and healthier. Because when you're using your full nervous system, it will support your life and enhance your growth. And this becomes important. So don't get stuck that I'm only using 10% of my brain. That story is false. You can use 100%. And it's available to us. And basically, all you have to understand is this: stay conscious, stay mindful, and stop playing the same patterns over and over again, because that opens up an opportunity to create new behavior when you stop playing the programs.
You're listening to Solomon's Temple, on Hindsight Radio. Protect your temple with the Solomon's Temple.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, peace. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, yeah. Good. Yeah, them temperatures dropping, huh?
Well, it went from 90 to 50. it didn't give no like a slow progression to getting cold. It went straight from hot to cold.
Yeah, real quick. You know? Some people off from New York, they were like, man, it's about real cold in New York. And I mean, they said it would drop, like it just dropped.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the Negro, wisdom that you're going to get cold, catch a cold, if you slept with the fan on. You know, you don't catch no cold from that.
No.
They tell us that we love them.
Yeah, you know, I don't like a fan on me like that, even in the summer. But you don't catch a cold. I could test it out. My daughter keep the fan blowing her. She got the ceiling fan and a regular little fan, a stand up fan blowing her all night long.
Exactly.
She don't catch no cold.
But you remember that though.
That's I remember. All the myths they told us.
Yeah,
you know about how you can get sick.
Yeah, you slept with the your hair was wet.
You get sick, yeah. I used to have when I lived in New York. I used to open the window, in the wintertime. Freeze up the house.
You know what I'm saying?
Because we used to have that steam heat. You know the steam radiators. That make all that noise when they come on. And I used to open that window, crack that window, because it'd be so hot in there. Man, I slept so good when I did that. They get up under the blanket, just leave my head out so I can get that cold air coming in. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But see, if your immune system not strong, you're going to feel the difference.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll feel it. You know. But if your immune system's strong, you're not going to feel nothing.
Right. We're about, what, 6 months into COVID-19. Oh. Still, I haven't seen anybody dropping dead in their house from it. Oh. What you think? When are they going to give up and let this thing go? Like, you know, the gig is up, man. This gag, y'all been playing, you know. So help me understand. Yeah.
Right. You see, with Clavier, you know what I'm saying? You know, even with the number 19, you know, in numerology, that's a karma debt number, you see. That's a karma debt number. When you have 19, that means that your power is not going to be used effectively anyway. You see? You know, it's interesting that they call it COVID-19.
Right.
You know. You damn sure ain't utilizing no power or nothing, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, well, you can see it's really, I mean, people are following along, but, you know, even the people that kind of hooked into believing what the government or what the doctors are saying, they're waking up or they're seeing something ain't right, you know?
Right.
So, you know, they're saying, you know, this is just not, you know, they're telling me, you know, you give people a curfew, right? In some places, in some countries, they got a curfew. So the virus stops working after 6, 7 p.m. You can't get sick after 7. So we put you on a curfew. So between the hours of 7 p.m. to 5 a.m., that's the most dangerous hours to be out. What's the curfew for? What that have to do with being safe from the virus? Because the virus only works between a certain time. You know? Just don't make any sense. Right. Oh, I can get on a plane and be packed in like a sardine, but I can't go to the beach and I gotta wear a mask. It's just ridiculous. You know? I mean, I actually see people jogging with masks on. For real. Like, are you jogging with mask on? You know, nobody's around you, just you jogging by yourself and you got a mask on. They just got people programmed that fresh air is the enemy.
You know? That shit mind blowing.
It is. It's almost like watching a movie, like a science fiction movie, like The Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. You know, like an episode of The Twilight Zone. It really is. It's like, and in the way people are acting, because there's some people that's really afraid of it. You walk, they kind of run from you, they move. You're like, it's sad. Like, I dropped my granddaughter off last Sunday, not this past Sunday, for my son. And I was coming to Chapel Hill.
Right.
And her grandmama and her aunt was wearing a mask. In the car when he came to pick up, we didn't have no mask on. My granddaughter didn't have no mask on. I knew they was gonna say, you know, they gonna felt uncomfortable about that. But I'm not gonna wear a mask in my own car,
right?
Now, and my granddaughter gonna be around me. We not wearing masks. I'm not putting one on her,
right?
So she was doing a little coughing, so they wanted to go get her tested.
Who wanted to get her tested?
Her grandmother, and her mama. Get a test. So they got a test. She was negative, but I mean, they're testing her every time she get a little cough. There's just some people that really buying into this nonsense. And they overreact. But I hear they got a test. It's just a swab.
They say that damn shit is painful as fuck. I don't know about the kid test, but they say that thing hurt. I done heard that from countless people. They're probably doing something different for kids.
Right. Well, okay. Why I got to go up to all the way up my nose cavity, almost to my brain, when you tell me that I need to wear a mask because my saliva travels 6 feet and I can be contagious? So why don't you just test my saliva? That's what you're trying to protect me from, right? But you got to test me by sticking something in my nose?
I really want to talk to some. I want to do the test myself and analyze it myself. You know, I want to do my own. I want to analyze it myself.
Right.
The bullshit around. Because, see, a lot of the tests are pre, you know, like when I was leaving that division, the tests started becoming pre-packaged tests.
Well, a lot of them already got positive stuff on it.
That's my point. You see, they you know, they be already kit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real lab testing. They be kit. You could in today's in 2020, you don't need the education that you had when I was coming up, when you had to really analyze it. Now it's quicker the way they do it, but then it raises questions too. Is quicker or is it accurate?
It's not accurate because they don't have an accurate test to even test for it. They test it for something it's just like you could have the regular old, what they call a flu, which that's the flu too, but and you'll still come up positive. I think
when we used to do it, you needed an incubation time.
Right.
You always got your results back the next day. The doctor give you something for pain and comfort, but then they'll call you back the next day to tell you if you had something like strep throat or something.
Right.
You had to let the bacteria or the virus multiply on the petri dish to see if
right.
it determined if it was ever pathogenic or not. So now I'm trying to figure out, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we don't need that no more.
They're changing the rules every day to fit an agenda. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. The rules change. You know, because if you look at it, the standards for how they treat it or how they want everybody to be changed.
Right.
Also, the CDC says this. The CDC says this this day. So, you know.
Right.
When they got an agenda, those agendas are going to change depending on how profitable they can make it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, it just don't make sense to do it like that. You know?
Right, it don't.
But you know, but see with this change of weather, they're trying to say it is going to be a second wave and it's going to be a lot worse. I think it got nothing to do with I think it got to do with the time frame of wearing these masks. That's what I think going to really cause it the next issue. It's not going to be the so-called virus. It's going to be the time period where people being stuck inside and prolonged stress during a time period when you're supposed to be your happiest and most outgoing. You know, most people didn't have a mental break this summer. You know. It was good that you went somewhere and went on vacation, but most people didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Most people didn't get no.
They didn't get it because they decided to believe in what them people were saying. Me, I used my good judgment. I followed my own intuition. You're like, okay, and I know how viruses work. And so I never was scared of it like that. So I said, I'm going to go and get on. I got on the plane twice. Twice. Drove. You know, when it was at the thick of it, I drove because traveling was so restricted by plane. But, I mean, I didn't miss a beat. Not even a sniffle. To tell you the truth, I had something like at the beginning of the year when I went to London and I came back, I had a sore throat like in February, and that went away after about a week or so. I had a little phlegm in my chest, and then that was gone. But that was it.
Right.
And I was, I didn't pass it on to anybody. I was with my daughter. She didn't get no problem,
right.
any problem. So... But that was it. I went on about it. I didn't see no doctor for all of that. And the phlegm went away. That was all in the month of February before COVID went haywire when they started shutting things down. Now, if I had that cough in March, people would have had an issue with that. I was on a plane. I had how you get the phlegm and you try to cough it out? I was on a plane coughing now. But it was just like anything else that you get when you get a little scratchy throat or something like that. But
right.
That was it. That was all I had. So the hype of it all is just crazy.
See, that can come from just having that, just the stress of doing what you were doing and not getting enough rest.
Mm-hmm.
I get like that sometimes when I'm like going hard for so many days and I ain't had a chance to take a nap and just recharge a little bit, I feel a little run down. You know? A little stress thing. You see? So now what everybody needs to start doing is do a good detox now. It's the change of the season. It's time to do a full body detox and do some and changing over what you eat. Eat more fall vegetables. You know, have a relationship with the true farmers market. You see. Changing
income. I said right.
Yeah, get in alignment with that. That way that's gonna keep everybody's immune system intact. You see? Cause see, I'm still growing. Now I'm doing another garden. You see. Now I'm growing my fall stuff, you know. And see, what people don't realize is even when you're growing things, it makes expansions in your life as well, you see. Green made things grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you open up doors for yourself as you grow things. But see, this earth has an energy to it, and within this earth, it brings forth all the answers that we need. It brings it forth through people. Now, the good thing is, a lot of people have been getting readings on who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And what they bring to this earth, you see, because we all got gifts, you know. Most people are like how we treat our cars, our phones, and our things. We just do what we do. Like, I know I do this with the phone. I know how to text, how to get on the internet, how to use my flashlight on the phone, an alarm. I know basic stuff. But there's way more to this phone than just those simple things that I do. You see what I'm saying? You're supposed to know yourself at that level. But most people don't know how to work themselves, how to activate themselves, how to use their gifts. They just know how to do the tip, take a shit, if that. Mm-hmm. Go to work, pay your bills, you know, simple things. Basically on some animal shit, some base chakra, survival things,
mm-hmm.
Nothing advanced, you know. Wake up, do the same thing again.
They're not looking for nothing advanced.
Right.
Go ahead, finish.
And go in the grave and don't do what they came on this earth to do. Because it's so much that this universe, that this earth produces. It produces all the ounces every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day is different beings that come and bring things. There's different people with different capabilities. You know, you got people all over this earth that do so much stuff. You got people that watch different things. You got, you know, it's so much. It's good that some people are actually tapping into it unconsciously. They just know that's what they was doing. You know, you got different scientists that just study things, you know, and they bring forth the data to you, you see. These are powerful minds. They're just interested in things. You know, your kids are showing you that, but then we we try to change our kids into going after things that we perceive as money makers instead of using their gifts. Mm-hmm. You see, you know, everybody wants to be a damn rapper or a basketball player. It's ridiculous. You know, mm-hmm. And it's good to have those, they entertain them, but it's so much more. You know,
right?
So much great things. Not to mention, and nobody talks about this. Hell, I didn't even know this shit. The richest black people on the earth don't play no damn sports. They got two black females that you never hear about. I just seen this the other day. I'm like, damn, the one brother got a telecommunication company. I forgot his name. And I just seen it the other day. And this nigga is worth more in America, worth more than Oprah and Michael Jordan. With no connection to technology, I mean to entertainment. You know, I mean, you can become a billionaire in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about without the aid of entertainment, without being on TV.
Right. Well, most of the people that got most of the money, you never know who they are, where they are. You don't see them. All the people you see that they're, you know, showing on TV, they're mid-level wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Oprah with all her money, she's still mid-level compared
right.
to what the wealth of other people are compared to her.
But I'm talking about
yeah.
black people.
Right, right.
This
is very, very wealthy people. Let me put it like this. The people that they're highlighting that are the wealthiest people are not really the wealthiest people. The people that are really wealthy, the wealthiest people, look like us.
Mm.
The people that you don't see on television and stuff like that. You got to think. You got people in India, even in the Middle East. Those people got billions of dollars. Not only do they got
right.
billions, they own all of the oil fields, all
right.
of the major industries, and they have their money in other industries. So the wealthiest people are not the Europeans. They're one of the wealthiest, but the wealthiest are all people of color. They are the wealthiest people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to look at 75% of the planet is who? People of color.
Right.
See, they got us disillusioned to they got us disillusioned into thinking Europeans got all the money, and that's not true. Why do you think we spend so much time in the Middle East, in places like Africa?
Mm-hmm.
You see? So they're going to get a part of that wealth, but the people, the leadership in Africa and the wealthy people that are the what we consider black folks or dark skinned people, they got the money sharing it with the Europeans. But here we're only subject to the media here, so we only see one perspective of wealth. You see what I'm saying? We only see a perspective
right.
from which they show us on TV, because we don't see these people's bank accounts. For instance, you would think Africa, you didn't know any better, you would think Africa was people starving all day. You know, it's a starving country, the way they show it on TV, in movies and stuff like that. But what Africa's a very wealthy country in a lot of areas. Now, they have poor areas just like we do. And most of those poor areas are rural areas that are undeveloped areas. So what
right.
these Save the Children places do, they go to these little areas in these little small villages where they don't have a lot going on and just highlight little places. And a lot of them kids that are sick that they're showing on TV are the people where they're doing, they have those doctor relief programs that go to other countries to help out those poor villages. They're the ones making them people sick with all of their vaccines and, you know, things like that. It's not that they were
mm-hmm.
sick before that. They bought into the ideology that you just white, physician or these programs could give them something better than nature got in their own backyard.
Right.
It's amazing when you go to these other countries, like went to Honduras, right? And driving on this tour, we had to show a lot of little kids trying to sell stuff to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in their mind, the media in their country has made a perception that we are more wealthier and better off than they are. Now, I'm standing there in this country, and I'm looking around, and I see mango trees all over the place.
Right.
I see their food in their backyard, which I got to go to the grocery store and get and pay an arm and a leg for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, y'all, see, it's the perception of wealth that's got them turned, got them all messed up. They are wealthy.
Right.
They got their food. They ain't got to worry about going to a grocery store. I can go pick it out my backyard and get me a mango, any color. You got purple ones. You got the green ones, the red ones.
Right.
And I didn't even know there was that many color mangoes.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Bananas hanging out the trees. You can go up and get coconuts. So
right. That
means that ground that they're on is fertile soil, meaning it can grow anything. If it's
right. Every
backyard got a mango tree, every backyard got trees, bananas growing on, every backyard got coconuts growing on, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's fertile because they had them all. This is in Costa Rica. You know it's fertile because they got all them the monkeys in the trees. You can hear them, the howler monkeys and stuff. So they're not going to be nowhere where they can't get food.
Right.
You see? You know? So, but they're looking poor because they want their perception of what's rich is distorted. They got fertile soil, so all they need is some seeds to keep growing their food. That's only and someone to know how to make their clothes.
Right, it's kind of like the acres of diamonds.
Right, mm-hmm. But they got the what is considered having wealth distorted. You got to have the money, which is fake. Everybody know that's fake. Somebody printed that up on the print. Something they made from the very thing that they're growing in their backyard as money is what is more valuable than they have what's growing on that tree.
Right.
You see?
Yeah. So, they just print money in America.
Right. Yeah, they just make it. They just put it in. Actually, now they don't even print it hardly. They just put it in the computer and say what we got.
You know.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and they give it to who they want to give it to. You know, you can get it if you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. You know, I was talking to a white guy. He was like, shit, he can go into any bank and get loans.
Right.
Any community bank and he can get a loan. You know, but we can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, what do you do when it, like, I was talking to Dr. Daniels yesterday about hypertension and how she says that's like a made up. They change the numbers on high blood pressure all the time. What's considered high blood pressure? And she was stating how that's the medications basically do not. The patient doesn't benefit from the medications that they give for hypertension.
Right.
But they cause more problems.
What she talking about? What they do is, like, as you get older, your blood pressure will go up.
Right.
It naturally goes up as you get older, and so that's what they got a lot of books on the blood pressure myth. Because your blood pressure always goes up. And so, you know, your blood pressure and your cholesterol tend to go up as you get older. But according to, there's a lot of books on it, according to what they're saying, is that the doctor's got to have you on some type of drug. But there isn't such thing as your blood pressure is being too high, though. And it can kill you if it is too high. You see, So, you know, you still got to be careful with your blood pressure and correct it. Because it can kill you when it's too high. You'll feel different when your blood pressure up too. You know. And a lot of times it comes from prolonged stress. Most people don't learn how to adapt to their stress. You see.
Right.
But see, probably another thing is like your blood pressure gonna go up and down throughout the day. It naturally raises when you wake up in the morning. You see.
Right.
It naturally raises when you wake up in the morning, but then it goes back down because of the rays of the sun, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's designed to get you out to bed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to make sure because it will shut your kidney down. It will kill you, you know. So I want to say that because, you know, she's right. But then the wrong nigga hear that and feel like, oh shit, my pressure, fuck that. You know, you gotta make sure your pressure right.
Well, you gotta eat, you know, of course you gotta eat right and drink enough water. You can't just ignore that. You gotta ask yourself,
right,
why is it raising in the first place? What are you doing?
Right.
And if you just change those, then you can manage your blood pressure. You know.
Exactly.
You know, your blood pressure is raising to protect you from something. So what is
it? You still got listeners that eat an ass of pork. You
mm-hmm.
still got listeners that eat that pork. I don't care what they saying out their mouth. You know.
Right.
A lot of them brothers still eating pork, man.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my brother used to wear a kufi every day. And he was a big time Muslim, man. You know what I'm saying?
That bacon is hard to give up, huh? So you saying no pork or just watch how much pork you eat? What do you say? None
no
at
pork.
All.
If anybody say anything against that, I am sure shit that they say. They speaking from their opinion, their feelings. If somebody tell you to eat that shit, they crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you got some people get so fucking deep. It's too deep. That shit is bad. They've been saying the shit been bad since the beginning of the time, and the only people that's eating that shit is savages.
Mm-hmm.
That's old teachers. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Your ancestors been saying that.
Right.
You know, since the beginning. Nobody was eating that shit but savages. That's the original teaching. And it, you know, now the only way you can eat is that Christian shit. Jesus will forgive you. You know. You ain't gonna find no royal family to eat that shit.
Right.
You know. And really, you gotta, you know, I'm not big on the vegan shit either, but at the same time, you know, certain meats you shouldn't eat, you know.
Okay.
The pork is bad. The beef is bad, too. It's not as bad as pork, but it's bad as shit, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah, that's going to hurt a lot of people's feelings, man.
Yeah, but you got to be 100. You know, you eat what you want to eat. There's no way, there's nothing good about it. And most,
right.
You know, Dr. Kellogg and amongst others wrote extreme things on the dangers of pork. You know,
mm-hmm.
the setting, the temperament of the pig. There's so many levels to it.
What you said, Dr. Who? Kellogg?
He wrote a little small pamphlet on it. He was actually a brilliant man. The man that they give credit to the Kellogg family. You know,
oh, you talking about the guy that the Kellogg cereal?
Yeah. You know, and then who knows? The way he was writing, who knows? He might not even have edited the shit. They might have just used that last name, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he was a pretty good scientist, but he got a good one on the pig. And there's so many people that wrote so much stuff on it. You know, it's just common sense too. You just watch it. You look at this. You be around that animal. You know, and that animal is the closest. Because it did taste good. But what's interesting is, it's the closest to eating human flesh. You see. We transplant. Scientists have transplanted organs from pigs into humans, and it's been effective. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's they very close to human, and they say that human flesh is extremely delicious too. They say that it's so delicious. It's crazy. That's why a lot of them so-called elite like to eat babies and things, because of the rush you get from eating human flesh. It says it's exhilarating. Kind of like how niggas act when they eat pig. You know? But, you know, Dr. Sabi told everybody what to do. He told everybody what to do. You know, and then you got other people saying other shit. He told the people the blueprint. You know what I'm saying? You know.
So what was Dr. Sabi's blueprint?
The alkaline diet. You see?
Basically a plant-based diet.
Right. Now, Dr. Sabi did eat fish sometimes, you see. But everything in moderation. It ain't no moderation with no pork. You know, people going to eat it, that's their business, but you know what I'm saying? It's going to harm you.
Yeah. Now, here's the argument people make, right?
They can make any argument they want.
They say, well, Dr. Sabi said that I know people that still eat pork and they live longer than him. They'll say that.
I know. It's always a nigga. It's a nigga that's going to say some shit like that.
I'm just playing the devil's advocate on that. Like,
yeah,
people will say that.
Yeah. It's always a nigga. A nigga's going to say something like that. I get it. And I'm not saying you're going to die if you eat it.
Yeah.
Nobody says
you're just saying it's not good for you. It's not good for you.
Exactly. But it's always a nigga going to say something. You know, oh, you eat this. Man, I've seen a nigga eating metal, eating boats and glass.
Right.
Okay? You can look it up now. It's a nigga.
I've seen somebody eat glass.
Eating glass. Would you eat glass?
No. No.
That's my point. I mean, you can eat any damn thing, but you know, it's always somebody that wants to bring it up. You know.
Right. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying, and I'm not stopping. I'm going to be a family for Thanksgiving. I ain't going to say a word. I'm going to have fun when they're there. They're going to do their shit, and I'm going to do mine. I ain't the pork police. But you can't bring that to me as a health thing. That's my point.
No.
I
agree with you on that.
You know what I'm saying? Some people have actually tried to use stuff like that as a form of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my point.
What?
I'm saying that you're going to die. And people can drink cyanide and not die.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? You know, people have drunk lead and not died.
Yeah.
You know, so you got examples of everything like that. But it's not conducive for proper health.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Think about how many niggas that take these pharmaceutical drugs on the daily, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you got church women and women with just pocketbooks full of dangerous prescription drugs. They not dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it would kill most. You got examples of that. But then we know that prescription drugs are not good for health.
Oh, no, we know that.
Yeah.
That's both of the people that die, they go to the hospital and get killed. Just
right.
So
the only thing to say is that it's just a preference for a person to eat some pork. That's a preference. But it's contrary to proper health, you know. I had a medical doctor that was his ass was in there. We was in the front line. I'm a medical doctor. I don't give a fuck. You a medical? What the hell that means? You a medical doctor? Tell me, with y'all are the number one cause of death on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And your argument is I'm a medical doctor. I got a PhD too. I'm a doctor too. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know, I'm a doctor.
But the thing is,
though, you know, and this is what the doctor tried to use in his argument, and this is what Dr. Sabi always talking about. He say that, did you know that the pork is the animal with the highest percentage of protein?
Mm-hmm.
That was his argument.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what too much protein do to the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to see people every day with kidney issues because of too much protein in their urine.
Right.
You know, you ride down the street and you go in the right city, it'll tell you how many dialysis clinics that you'll find on the block.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And all of them going to have the same thing. They find that protein in their urine. Their blood pressure killed their kidneys.
Mm.
Same trend. You know? And so that's even another reason. With the first thing that the doctor was arguing about, that's another reason why the pig is bad. It's too much protein. You see what I'm saying? Mm. The very point he was trying to get across was what one of the reasons that it makes it dangerous too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you got 2 minutes. Let them know where you at.
Yeah, 7201 Park Lane Road, Columbia, South Carolina 29223, and you know come. It's time for everybody to detox. Get the worms out your ass. You know? It's like, that's why I'm saying detox. People are going to eat what they're going to eat. My issue is, I'm hoping that you cleanse it while you damage yourself.
Hmm.
You see what I'm
saying?
People are going to put in what they're going to put in. But don't be a fool and leave it in.
Right. Yeah, it's good to clean out.
They're going to do their ritual, eat their chitlins for Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's. That's going to happen. Yeah, so peace, God.
All right, peace. Take care. Thanks.
All right, you too, God. Peace.
All right.